Welcome everyone to the Northern Affinity video podcast. So I'm Michael Edwards. I am the founder of the Northern Affinity. Thank you very much for joining today's discussion. Well, we'll go to our expert that we are speaking to very, very soon. But I just want to give you an update on what the purpose of this conversation is. So for me, there's twofold, really. Firstly, it's for you and I to learn something from the person that we are speaking to get new ideas, to stimulate thought. That's a great start for me. But secondly, for me, which is a big passion of mine, is to give a platform to the person I'm speaking to. It's an opportunity for really, really good people who are doing really, really good things to demonstrate that and for you to hopefully see that. So, and now that the kind of overall, all our contributors are these type of people, are small business owners, people are doing things for good. So please, if you could follow and subscribe, whether you're watching this as a video on YouTube or you're listening via your various podcast platforms, please do subscribe. Listen to our other contributors. There's been some fantastic discussions we've had in the past, and I'm sure we will have in the future. So thank you very much. I'm delighted to say now the video podcast is sponsored by Leeds Beckett University and their Help to Grow Management Training Program. If you have a business, an SME that has between 5 and 250 employees, and you're looking at something to help you and your business grow, I would advise looking at this. It's 90% funded. It's a fantastic opportunity for so many people. The program's open now, so please do check it out, and I'll put all the details in the show notes. Enjoy the discussion. So welcome to the latest edition of the podcast. For those who are on video, you can see we're actually in person today, which is quite unusual. So I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Jodie. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So today we're actually recording it from one of Clockwise offices that many people know we use for lots of our events. So we're trying this in person, see how this goes. And you will have seen that we're talking today about motivation. But before we get on to that, Jodie,
yeah.
Can you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, what you do, what you're about, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, so I'm Jodie and I run Gate Jobs, which is a new company that is a rural job platform. So I grew up in deepest, darkest Yorkshire Dales and sort of recognised there was a bit of an issue with businesses trying to find great people to work for them, and also as a job seeker in those areas, it's quite tricky. So trying to address that problem with our platform, but also trying to support rural businesses with the platform as well. So obviously startups and any businesses face their own challenges, and then rural ones have challenges of their own. So yeah, trying to tackle some of those with Gate as well.
Excellent, thank you. So obviously today's subject, as we said, is talking about motivation. I think it's a really interesting subject area. I think it's, you know, obviously a lot of our audience, small business owners, and I think probably the outside perception, someone who's never run the business, is that probably the people who run their own business are the most motivated because they've done it for a reason. And I think the reality of it is actually you can go through periods where you're not at all. I know I've been there myself. Almost you start beating yourself up a bit about that because you feel like you should be. So I think that's what makes this such an interesting conversation. But before we get to that and the details of it, what is motivation?
Yeah, so for me, obviously motivation applies to so many different areas of our lives. But for me, it's the sort of get up and go, the momentum and drive that keeps you sort of progressing towards whatever goal it is. And my background was I came from a sporting background and then moved into doing personal training. So I've sort of experienced motivation from different angles and sort of the different approaches to it, whether that's sports psychology or looking at behavior and eating patterns and what is it that motivates people. And now looking at it in the business world, and as a small business owner myself, who some days I feel like you can take on the world, and then other days you think, what on earth am I doing? I find it such an interesting subject, and how it has a lot of bits that are transferable from the sports and exercise and business. It's all about our own behaviour, isn't it?
Interesting you said sports there, because I think not many people know me. I've said this a lot around. I think business can learn a lot from the sporting world. Now, there's obviously one of the things is lots of money going, especially in certain sports, whether it's around psychology and
and all sorts of different things. And I think there's a lot we could learn from that. And I think people have started to do that, yeah. haven't they? And I think using the personal training there's certain people, I'm sure everyone knows people who love going to the gym, go pretty much every day, enjoy it. It's yeah. part of what they do. And then there's other people who are the exact opposite end of that. And then some people in the middle, obviously. And it's kind of why are certain people more motivated than others?
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess that applies for us all in business. Is it just because you're doing something you enjoy or you love? Is it to do with habits? Or is it a bit of everything, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of both. I think you arrive at the start point because you're passionate about something. You perhaps found something that you love and you believe in. And you're sort of full of energy and you get going and you could take on the world because it's quite exciting. You don't know how big this could go. And the same with the sports, you know, once you start getting a bit of momentum, you're like, oh, right, this could really happen. And then you might set some goals and you don't quite hit them. And then you sort of think, oh, well, I'm not actually doing as well as what I intended. I'm not being as successful as I thought. And it starts to sort of, like you say, you beat yourself up a bit. And particularly if you're running your own business, it can be quite lonely. Perhaps you're working on your own. You haven't got a team of people yet. And it's quite easy to get inside your own head. So
yes, it is, yeah.
that's sort of what I sort of think around there. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you mentioned goals there. I just thought that was really interesting there. Again, if we compare the two, sport and business, in sport, it depends what you're doing, but generally there's a really easy, but obvious goal.
Yeah.
You know, that, let's say you're training to run a 10K. Well, you've got to be able to run 10K. You've got a goal, yeah. and you might start at 1K and then go to 2 and so on and so forth. If you're playing a sport, you win or you lose.
Yeah.
I'm playing this game to, my season starts in this day. So you've got the motivation, you've got a goal, you've got an obvious. Whereas I think a lot of us in business, and I would include myself in that, we kind of have goals, but they're a bit more vague.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more long term, or even actually there's some very long term and some very short term ones, but nothing in the middle. Whereas in the sporting world, often there's
sort of, qualifiers as such.
Yeah, and it's really easy to say, yes, I've done well, or no, I haven't done well. Let's use the example, I want to run a 10K, I want to run it quicker than 1 hour.
Yeah.
So there's two really, really simple metrics there, isn't there? There's a distance and a time.
Yeah.
And probably for most of us in business, often it's more complex than that.
Yeah.
Often it's more outside your control as well. Again, the running thing, the amount of work you put in, you get the result out of that, barring injuries and things like that.
Yeah,
but in business, you're relying on other people to buy from you. You're relying on a pandemic not happening or whatever it might be. So there's obviously variables, and it's not simple.
There's a lot of factors that aren't quite as in your control. And also, I suppose when I was starting my last business, there was a lot of talk around what are your SMART goals and how are you going to measure them? And you think, oh, yeah, okay, I can put these down on paper. These are my goals. But then if you don't hit them, or the business actually changes direction, something happens that doesn't allow you to get to those goals, then that can feel really demotivating. And for me, with what I'm doing at the moment, I've sort of looked at the things that stopped me feeling as motivated last time when I started my last business, and I'm like, right, okay, I need to do this in a different way, so it's going to allow me to keep momentum. And putting sort of smaller goals, like daily ones, in place. And I know there's sort of this talk around like the 1% that all add up, whether that's in a sporting background or business, but doing those little 1% each day, and actually those are the things that keep you motivated, and you've achieved something every day, you've achieved this tiny little goal that ultimately will contribute to that bigger goal, but it's something that's helping you stay motivated day to day.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think motivation is a strange thing, because I think most people want to be motivated. When it comes to business, but you want to be motivated, I want to work well. But for some reason, there's something holding them back. Interesting, any kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think obviously if you're quite a driven person, you can often be very critical as well. And that sort of internal conversation that you have with yourself can be your biggest cheerleader, but it can also be sort of your biggest holdback as well. So if you are quite goal driven, then having these like little measurable bits are what's going to sort of keep the internal conversation as a positive one rather than a negative one. And also, like for me, I knew, again, going back to sporting backgrounds, whatever level I was at, I always had a coach. Mm. And I know that, you know, Olympic athletes, they all have their coaches. Yeah. So for me, is when I left the sporting world, I sort of thought, well, actually, no, I want a coach for the rest of my life and to help me get the best from myself with that. And it gives you a bit of accountability, because if you're on your own, you can kind of like, oh, I'm going to do this week. And then you think, oh, actually, I didn't quite manage, but never mind, no one's going to know. But having someone there to sort of check in with, but also someone to have these rational conversations with that help keep you in the right headspace and understand you can be really beneficial. And I think a lot of people think, I've got a coach. You're like, oh, right, okay, whatever. But for me, I just look at it as like, if I can get the best out of myself from a sporting perspective and go to a European Championships and know that I am doing my best, if I can do that in my own life with any other aspect or with my business, then what can you achieve? That would be amazing.
Absolutely. And I think there's another interesting thing I've just kind of come across there, I think, is generally when it's sport, the achievement is the goal, it's the winning the race, winning the match, whatever it might be, which is fine. Often in business, achievement is actually linked to financial gain, isn't it? So you get your business to a point of whether you're selling it or you're earning money from it, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So we often attach our goals and targets to financial things in our business. I want X number of customers. I want to turn over this amount of money. I want this much profit, whatever that might be. Whereas, as I touched on earlier, in sporting environments, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Often the fact if you are very successful in those, in certain sports, then the finances will come. That's fine. But, you know, if you Premier League footballers, they're, I would imagine when they're thinking about their goals, it's literally how many goals I will score in a season, or which team, what level I'm playing at.
Yeah.
No, and then the financial rewards come from that. And I wonder if there's something in actually what goals you set and what you're trying to achieve, not being financial driven, is actually would be a lot more beneficial. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of
rambling
a little bit there, but,
you know, like going back to how much control you have over those goals, it might be that you can't quite control in the early stages of a business how much revenue you're generating. But I was saying to you before we started this, my goal at the moment with Gate is to contact 15 new businesses every day.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the week, I know that's 100 more people that know about Gate. And yeah, hopefully at some point that will generate revenue, ideally. I know that I can control that, and I've achieved something with my week, and it's measurable. And I think, yeah, this is contributing to the bigger picture. It's another little 1% that adds up. And, you know, by sort of laws of putting this effort in, like the 10,000 hour rule, if you're putting that time in, there's going to be an inevitable gain from it.
And that's the focusing on the process rather than the result, isn't it? And with the idea that the result will take care of itself. And we're recording this in mid-July, and there was a cricket Ashes test match that finished yesterday, and I was listening to talk afterwards, and they were all talking about focusing on the process of what they were trying to achieve, and the win essentially would take care of itself. And is that something maybe, and I've not thought about this before, I know I don't do that in my business, and maybe is that what is the thing that's holding back that real levels of motivation? Because your goal is, rather than the win, it's the thing that you've kind of said,
Because that's the thing, you know, there's every athlete that goes to the Olympics wants to win gold. They all have the same goal. So that's that. But what is it that then separates you between the starting point and that gold medal, between all the other athletes? And it's the process. It's the showing up, the little bits that you put in add up every day, and how motivated you are and how committed you are. And a lot of the time, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about actually being able to bear the boredom of doing some of those tasks. Because I think a lot of the time, having a business is painted as this glamorous, exciting thing that, you know, every day is different, you're doing something fun, and a lot of the time it is. But I'd say the majority of the time it's these monotonous tasks that need to be done to get to that next point. And being comfortable with being bored is then what perhaps separates you from the rest, and don't fear that. Yeah. Actually find comfort in it and being like, this is an easy task that I can do. It's not the most exciting. I quite easily put it off if I could. But actually that's the bit that's going to create the difference.
Yeah. And it's not least it's accepting also that some things are outside your control. You know, again, using the athlete at the Olympics example, if you turn up and you could do everything you want, you stood on the 100 metres line and Usain Bolt stood next to you, there might just be just whatever you've done, you've done everything you can do, but you can only come second.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in business, coming second would feel really demotivating for people.
Yeah.
But actually coming second, if you're the second biggest in your area or your market, actually you're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
As well, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So it's being comfortable with that as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the best all the time.
And I think it's so important to reflect as well, because it's so easy to put that there's that whole, you're working in your business, not on it. So actually then having those moments where you step back and look at where you've been and actually reflect on that and think, yeah, oh, this worked really well, that isn't working, but actually I hadn't realised, and being able to sort of give yourself a pat on the back when you need to, but then also think, okay, I can learn from that, and being sort of accepting of the mistakes and keeping going with it.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating subject. More and more I've thought about this, and we start talking, it's kind of got my head ticking. So I guess that, you know, obviously the subject of this is how, so kind of what we need to do. So if, you know, I switch my computer on a Monday morning, Jodie, and I'm struggling to get going. And I'm sure we all have days like that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. What type of things could I do to make sure I have a good day? Forget about anything else. Forget about winning. Forget about anything like
the
that.
The gold medal.
Just having a good day that day.
Yeah.
And then doing the same the next day. What kind of things can make a difference?
So I'd say I was quite interested. There was a concept called the 12-week year that I read about. Okay. that sort of says that you could be as productive in 12 weeks as some people can in a full year, which sounds great. But one of the things that they sort of hit hard on is having just two things to work on at a time. So saying this week I'm going to work on these two things. So then you can actually really apply yourself.
Okay.
So I'd say not overfacing yourself with your goals that week, because if you have a really big list of things and you're kind of like, oh, well, there's so much to do, I'm actually probably not going to do any particularly well, but being able to say, right, I've done these two. So highlighting something that's really important, two things that you want to work on. And then for me, having an easy daily tickable goal, to get momentum. So I can literally turn my laptop on and I can start contacting those 15 businesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then by half an hour into my work, I'm like, oh, I've already achieved something today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that is so useful for me. So yeah, I think having that is sort of quite crucial. And just knowing that those are the little, again, the 1% there.
And I think that's, you kind of touched on the bit there, overwhelm essentially, you know.
Yeah.
That is demotivating. I know I have some days where I look at my task list and there's 45 different things I want to do on there. And maybe it's probably got in the head a little bit with it, but you kind of feel like, actually, I'm going to get less done today.
Yeah.
If I had 7 things on that list, I'd probably get more done than if I got, like I said, 45 on that list or something, which is, shouldn't be really, but it is, isn't it? And I think, is there something about, this is very much my own experience, actually, rather than separating my tasks as individual things, almost grouping them up to create less, but actually spending more time focusing on that. So I'll use an example within the Northern Affinity because it's probably easiest to explain. We all do all these different types of events.
Yeah.
And I might have in my to-do list on any given day, do this for the Manchester event, do this for the Leeds event, do this for the York event.
Yeah.
Rather than having something in my thing that says, look after the events, and having, and then within that, I don't know, bullet points. And you just, when I turn it on the computer in the morning and I'll go to my to-do list, rather than, like I said, 45, I might have 7.
Yeah.
Something in that. you still got the same amount of things to do.
Yeah,
but it just feels less.
They're little building blocks. So it's what, you know, I take one step. Okay, yeah, that's fair. I've done it well. Take the next step. And yeah, making it into these little chunks. And I think one thing that I find really interesting is this sort of like habit stacking ideas as well. So like if you know that on a morning you turn on your computer and you have a coffee, say, and then after you've made your coffee, then you know that that's when you do that first task. So then it's like there's no way of kind of escaping it. You're attaching it to some sort of habit that you already have that is easy to do. And then you're attaching this other easy thing. And then it all starts to sort of flow and you create this nice, these blocks, these steps that guide you through your day and make it feel quite achievable.
Yeah. And habits, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that. I think that's such a big part of it, isn't it? And again, we'll go back to the kind of the physical exercise thing.
Yeah.
If you're used to, you know, you just go to the gym every single day. It's just easier to go. That for that person who's like that, it's easier.
Yeah.
I guess it's the same in business, but. Is there anything ways you can think of for people to create new habits? Because I think most people know that habits are, on the whole, good and bad habits, but creating good habits is important. But it's then how for some people, so that's the hard part.
I think, so for me, I quite like documenting things because then I can look at the end of the week and see all the things I've done, which sounds really sort of self-absorbed. Like, oh, look how great my week's been. But because I know like some people like to journal and reflect. Well, I kind of, quite a lot of the time I have like a habit journal.
Yeah.
So the night before I go to sleep, I'll write down what I want my day to look like. So I can say, right, I wake up, make a cup of tea, and then at the moment I've been trying to do Duolingo every morning. But I know if I do Duolingo as soon as I'm having my cup of tea, then I get it done. But I'll also tick it off in this list. So it's like a non-negotiable thing, but it's also saying to me, well done, you've done something. Even though it takes 2 minutes to do and it's not a massive achievement, but it feels like it.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of giving myself this accountability. And then, you know, if you then have a friend that's doing the same or a coach, and then you can go to them and be like, oh, look, like a training diary, like a food diary, whatever you might use as your help. I find that really useful.
Yeah, and the other thing I found as well is if you use, I think we're probably everyone's aware of concept of people starting new habits, January and all that kind of stuff and resolutions. But there is also other times of the year when, and everyone will be different, everyone's got different lives, but you can maybe create a good time to create new habits.
Yeah.
So you know, this is going to go out middle of July sometime.
Yeah.
September is often a good time for people, you know, whether it's after the kids go back to school or after the holidays and things like that. Like I might just have to be after having a holiday, you know, take a break from your regular, so you come out of your routine naturally, don't you, for a week or 2 weeks, whatever it might be. Consciously make a decision to start new habits at that point.
Yeah.
And it could, like I said, it could be end of school holidays, it could be end of a physical holiday, something, new job. A good, great example is when you start a new job, you can create new habits in that.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like having your own seasons to your life where you're like, actually, for the winter season, these habits are going to be more suitable at the moment and more achievable and more beneficial to me personally. So actually, I'm going to spend 3 months working on these, because sometimes it can be quite overfacing to think, I need to change my routine forever.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, if you think, okay, for the next 3 months, I'm going to really focus on, if you want to stay more hydrated, and that's going to be your one goal that you work on for those 3 months. And then you add a new thing after those 3 months. But it's, again, these little blocks that all add up and not scaring yourself off at the start.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it is hard, isn't it, to change what you do. And I think that's really important. And the other thing I think for I want to cover around motivation, especially for people running their own businesses, is coping with setbacks. Because anybody running their own business, you're going to have setbacks. That's just the nature of it. And, you know, when I was at an event last week and someone said this, you know, there's barely a day go by where I don't think, oh, my God, why don't I just go get a normal job? It would be easier. And I think anyone from the business has probably been through that. Hopefully, as you go through it over time, you end up thinking about it slightly less sometimes.
Yeah.
I think coping with setbacks and motivation are so well linked. So is there anything you kind of advise for people? You know, you're having one of those bad days, you've lost a big customer, or you didn't win that deal, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
kind of how do you cope with that tension to stay motivated?
For me, I think a lot of business owners who run their own company on their own is to speak to somebody else. And because, like, you run your networking groups and you know that actually when you find common ground with someone, actually they probably had the same issue. Yeah, they're having setbacks of their own. You're not on your own, and you're not just doing the worst in the world out of everybody, and everyone's doing really well, even though LinkedIn may say that everyone's winning gold medals or whatever. Having, whether it's a close friend, someone that you know that's in business similar to you, or coach, or even writing it down. If there isn't someone that you can call, just get it from your head onto paper and go, right, this is what's happened. Read it back and think, actually, I can learn from that. Or I can think, that wasn't in my control. I can't control that. And if you can't control it, then you can close it and think, right, tomorrow's a new day. That's enough of that. And if you can learn from it, then great. And write out what you've learned from it, and actually feel like, oh, this is a little like penny in the pot of knowledge. Like, that's something I've been lucky enough to learn this, which, you know, if you could do a race and you don't do your best and you think, well, I've set off too fast, you're not going to do it again next time.
No.
You're going to learn from that, which is easier said than done.
Yeah. And I think there's something really in that, the idea of just walk away for a little while. You know, it might be for half an hour, it might be for the day. I think for things, and when you're in them trying to deal with something, it always feels worse, doesn't it? It feels like, I can't get out of this. Just get away.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, go for a walk for half an hour. It might be do some, you know, if you're at home, put some washing, just something. Yeah. Take a deep breath, come back, and it just, sometimes problems solve themselves as well.
Yeah. When I had my other business, that was all like manufacturing breakfast cereal and stuff. And it was like trying to get ingredients in, and we had 20 different products and stuff hadn't arrived. And then you'd send stuff out in the post, and I know like the Hermes driver kept eating the products and stuff like that. And at the time you're like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. Like my business is just not going to work. And then you step back and you're like, there's always a solution. And sometimes, you like you say, you just need to step out of it, have a deep breath, go for a walk, and the solution will present itself if you work towards it in a sort of calm and rational way.
Well, that's the thing. One of the benefits of running your own business, doing your own thing, is that you are more the master of your own destiny.
Yeah.
You've got the time. You're not chained to a desk 9 to 5. So if it means that for 2 hours, because you're having just things aren't working out, go and do something else for 2 or 3 hours. And then if you need to do it 2 or 3 hours that night or Saturday morning or whatever it might be. You've got that opportunity to do it, which you might not in an employed role, because employees might not let you do that. That's another conversation for another day. But if that's what you've got that luxury, actually.
Yeah.
So,
and I know for me, if I've had something that's, oh, how do I find a solution to this? I'll actually look on loads of different podcasts and see, I'm like, is there one about this? Whether it's your own one or whether it's Diary of a CEO or Secret Leaders, those kind of things. There's usually someone that has had these issues. So then I listen to that and I go, their problem was way bigger. Mine is actually okay. It rationalizes it, doesn't it? It changes the internal conversation, which is our, you know, biggest asset, but our biggest hindrance if it chats too much.
100%. So I could talk about this for hours. I was thinking more and more questions, but this maybe we're going to have to do part two and part three. But if anyone wants to listen to the conversation, want to find out more about you, what you're doing, where's the best places to look, go find you, connect with you, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn, Jodie McGregor, and then various different Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, as Gate Jobs. Just come and say hello and ask away.
Thank you, Jodie. Thank you for being on the podcast. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your time. So we'll be getting this out very soon. We'll be putting it across the various platforms. So if you are, whether you're listening or watching this, it'll be all the different socials and the YouTube and various podcast platforms. So thank you for this. Really, really appreciate it. Go check out all the other podcasts as well. There's so many different subjects and so many different matters. Yeah. That's kind of one thing we like to do is kind of cover as many different areas as possible. But thank you for your time, Julie.
Thank you.